Dickens, and I'm her brother, Henry. Our father is Charles Dickens. Everyone says that our father knows how to celebrate the Christmas season properly.
Christmas is always such fun at our house. And to our father, it is dearer than any other time of the year. He loves Christmas for its deep significance and for its joys. We can see this in his wonderful story called A Christmas Carol.
Yes, Christmas is a great and jovial time at our house. Today we are going to share a few scenes from A Christmas Carol for your enjoyment.
Listen to the carolers on that cold, foggy Christmas Eve in 1843. Mr. Scrooge is sitting at his desk working.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug? Surely you don't mean it, Uncle.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Come then. What right have you to be dismal? What right have you to be morose? You're rich enough.
Bah, humbug.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be, you know, when I live in a world of such fools as this? Merry Christmas? Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time for you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer. A time for balancing your books and having every item in them presented dead against you. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Nephew, keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
But keep it? You don't keep it.
Well, let me leave it alone then. Much good may it do you. Much good it has ever done you.
There are many things for which I might have arrived to, by which I may not have profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. I've always thought of Christmas time as a good time. A kind, pleasant, charitable time. The only time in the long calendar of the year when people seem to come together as if by one consent and open their hearts freely. The only time when people view those below them not as lesser beings but as fellow passengers for the grave. And, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will continue to do so. And that is why I say, God bless it.
You are quite a powerful speaker, sir. I wonder why you don't go into Parliament.
Don't go into Parliament. Come, dine with us tomorrow.
I'll see you in Hades first.
But why? Why?
Because you got married. Good afternoon.
Nay, but you never came to see me before that happened. So why give it as an excuse for not coming now?
Good afternoon.
I want nothing. I ask nothing. Why cannot we be friends?
Good afternoon.
I am sorry, with all of my heart, to find you so resolute. We've never had any quarrel in which I've been a party. But I've made this trail an homage to Christmas, and I am to keep my Christmas humor to the last. So I say, a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
Sinners good, the rising of the sun and the running of the
Now back to the story. We find ourselves in Scrooge's dingy apartment.
Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. Permit me to repeat emphatically that Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead? Of course he did. How could it be otherwise? Scrooge and he were partners for I don't know how many years. Scrooge was his sole executor, his sole administrator, his sole residuary legatee, his sole friend, and sole mourner. The mention of Marley's funeral brings me back to the point I started from. There is no doubt that Marley was dead. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I am going to tell. On that particular Christmas Eve, Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern and went home to bed. Now, it is a fact that there was nothing at all particular about the knocker on Scrooge's door, except that it was very large. It is also a fact that Scrooge had seen it, night and morning, during his whole residence in that place. But that night, when he put his key into the lock, he saw on the knocker, not a knocker, but Marley's face. It was not angry or ferocious, but looked at Scrooge as Marley used to look, and then became a knocker again.
Humbug, I say. Humbug. Humbug. I don't believe it. How now? What do you want with me?
Much!
Who are you?
Ask me who I was!
Who were you then?
In life I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe in me.
No, I don't. Humbug, I say, humbug.
Man of worldly mind, be you believe in me or not.
I do, I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him is amongst his fellow men, and if he does not so in life, he is condemned to do so after death. He is doomed to wander through the world. Oh, woe is me. And it witness what he cannot share, but might have shared on earth, and turned to happiness. Ow!
Ah! You're chained up. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you?
Jacob, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give. I cannot stay. I cannot rest. I cannot linger anywhere. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hold. Mark me. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. And now, weary journeys lie before me.
But Jacob, you were always a good man in business.
Business? Humankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Mercy, charity, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. At Christmastide I suffer most. Why did I walk through crowds of my fellow beings with my eyes turned down and not look up to see the blessed star which led wise men to a poor abode? Were there no homes to which its light would have guided me? I am here to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate.
Thank you. Jacob, you're always a good friend to me. Thank you.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
Is that the chance and hope you mentioned? I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow, when the bell tolls one. Look to see me no more, and look that, for your sake, you remember what has passed between us.
the bell tolled one, Scrooge met the ghost of Christmas past. This spirit took him to visit various scenes from his past. One of them was the warehouse where Scrooge had been an apprentice.
Scrooge cried in great excitement. Why, it's old Fezziwig. His heart, bless his heart. 'Tis Fezziwig alive again. Old Fezziwig lay down his pen, looked up at the clock, which pointed to the hour of 7, rubbed his hands, laughed all over himself, and called out in a rich, fat, jovial voice, "Yo-ho there, Ebenezer, Dick! Yo, my boys! No more work tonight. It's Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas, Ebenezer. Let's have the shutters up. Clear away, my lads, and let's have lots of room here." And it was done in a minute. The floor was swept, the lamps were trimmed, fuel was heaped upon the bright, and a ballroom, as you would desire, as bright as anywhere, to see upon a winter's night, appeared. In came a fiddler. In came Mrs. Fezziwig, one vast, substantial smile. And in came the three Miss Fezziwigs, beaming and lovable. And in came the six young followers whose hearts they broke. In came all the young men and women employed in the business. In came the housemaid with her cousin, the baker. In came the cook with her brother's particular friend, the milkman. In came the boy from over the way, who was supposed of not having board enough from his master, trying to hide himself behind the girl from next door but one, who proved to have had her ears pulled by her mistress. In they all came, one after another, some shyly, some boldly, some gracefully, some awkwardly, some pushing, some pulling. In they all came, and away they all went, 20 couple at once, hands half round and back again the other way, down the middle and up again, round and round. There were dances. There were more dances. And there was cake. And there was a great piece of cold roast. And there was a great piece of hot roast. And there were mince pies and plenty of beer. Then old Fezziwig stood out to dance with Mrs. Fezziwig. And when the clock struck 11, the ball broke up. Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig took their stations, one on either side of the door, and shaking hands with every person individually as he or she went out, wished him or her a Merry Christmas. When everybody had retired but the two prentices, they did the same to them. And thus the cheerful voices died away, and the lads were left to their beds, which were under a counter in the back shop. Scrooge said, "Fezziwig, Fezziwig, he has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune."
Christmas past leads Scrooge to another scene from his youth. In a quiet room, younger Scrooge is speaking with a beautiful young woman.
"It matters little to you, very little. Another idol has taken my place. If it can cheer you and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no reason to feel sad."
"What idol has displaced you?"
"A golden one."
"Is this fair? There is nothing in society which is so hard as poverty, And yet, there is nothing society professes to condemn as much as the pursuit of wealth.
You fear the world too much. All of your hopes are wrapped up in the fear of poverty. I have seen your better aspirations fall away one by one until all you care about is gaining wealth. Have I not?
What then? Even if I have grown wiser, what then? I have not changed towards you.
Yes.
Am I?
Our contract is an old one. It was made when we were both poor, and content to be so. You have changed. When we first became engaged, you were another man.
I was a boy.
Your own feeling tells you that you are not then what you are now. I am. That which promised happiness when we are one in heart now that we are two promises misery. How often and how keenly I have thought of this, I shall not say, but it is enough that I have thought of it and can release you.
Have I ever sought release?
In words? No.
In what, then?
In a changed nature, in an altered spirit, in everything that made my love of any worth or value in your sight. Tell me, if we had not been engaged, would you seek me out and try to win me now? Ah, no.
You think not?
I would think otherwise if I could, but I know that if you were free today, you would not choose a girl with no dowry. So I release you with a full heart for the love of him you once were.
Belle!
You may have pain in this, but only for a brief time. And then you will dismiss my memory as an unprofitable dream from which it's well that you awoke.
But Belle!
May you be happy in the life you have chosen.
Spirit, show me no more. Take me home. Why do you delight to torture me?
One more time.
Spirit, show me no more. I do not wish to see it.
You will stay.
Now they visit the home of a lovely young girl who is with her mother.
Why, it is Belle. Who is this girl?
And then we all went door to door singing Christmas carols. It was great fun. We laughed and laughed.
And hadn't anyone such a good time, Celestia? James, Tom, Freddie, please slow down. You might hurt yourself. Sit by the fire and sing or play a game. Your father will be home soon.
My brothers are too excited to sit still, Mother. They're like little monkeys. Here he is. Happy Christmas, Father.
Oh, yes. Oh, my. What commotion. Please take your children into the parlor and these gifts.
We will be there in a moment. Here, dear. Let me help you with your great coat.
Oh, the shops were very busy today. Oh, and no, I saw a friend in the room.
Who was it?
Yes.
How can I? I haven't the slightest... Aha! Don't I know? Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his window, and, since it was open, and a candle was lit inside, I could scarcely help seeing him. His partner, Jacob Marley, lies at 1 foot of death, I hear. He sat there, alone. Quite alone in the world, I fear.
It is the life he chose.
Spirit, remove me from this place.
Just think, that girl could have called you father and been the springtime and the winter of your life.
Spirit, remove me, I cannot bear it.
I told you, these are just memories. They are what they are, don't blame me.
When the bell tolls two, Scrooge meets the ghost of Christmas Present. This spirit takes Scrooge on a tour of London on Christmas Day. They are both delighted by a busy toy store. It is filled with dolls and tin soldiers and teddy bears, all sorts of toys. Let's watch as the toys dance around the Christmas tree.
Oh, what an unpleasant man he is.
I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers in knowing? Himself, always. Here he takes it into his head to dislike us, and he won't come back with us. What's the consequence of his taking his dislike to us and not being merry with us? It is, I think, that he loses his pleasant moments, which could do him no harm. I am sure he loses pleasanter companions that he can find in his own thoughts, either in his molded office or his dusty chamber. I mean to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or not, or I pity him.
Oh, Fred, he may rail at Christmas till he dies, but he can't help thinking better of it. If he finds you going there in good temper year after year and saying, Uncle Scrooge, how are you?
Yes, if it puts him in the vein to leave his poor clerk 50 pounds, that's something, and I think I shook him yesterday.
The friends spent a pleasant afternoon singing songs and playing games. Finally, at the end of the day, they decided to play one more game.
Here's a new game. It's called Yes or No. I'll think of something, and you guys gotta guess what it is by asking yes or no questions. Let me think. I've got something you guys will never guess. Go ahead.
Is it alive?
Yes.
Is it a plant?
No.
Is it an animal?
Yes.
Is it a pleasant animal?
No.
Ah, a disagreeable animal.
Is it a savage?
Yes.
Does it live in London?
Yes.
This went on for a very long time. They learned that the animal grunted sometimes and talked sometimes and walked about the streets and wasn't made a show of, And it wasn't a horse, or donkey, or cow, or tiger, or dog, or pig, or a cat, or a bear.
What could it be?
Aha! I have found it out. I know what it is, Topper. I know what it is.
What is it?
It's Fred's Uncle Scrooge.
She has guessed it. I'll drink a toast to his health.
What did she say? Say it again.
It's Fred's Uncle Scrooge.
We must all drink a toast to his health, for he has given us plenty of merriment, and it would be ungrateful not to drink to his health.
To Uncle Scrooge.
And a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, whatever he is.
To Uncle Scrooge.
To change for the better.
His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. Afterwards, it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed him all.
That is our story. We hope that you liked it.
Just before we're all gonna sing together at the end here, but just before that, in the having all of us learn the lesson of Scrooge, this is a good time to bring your guests at the table offerings, or any Christmas offerings, or your pledge if you wish to put that in, and we are going to, I think, put it all in this container on the back table.
There's a plastic, it's actually a rain gauge that you should dump your desk at the table.
Yes, so you can put your desk at the table stuff into the rain gauge, and when we're done with that, we'll all sing together. So if everyone who has anything to give could give at the back table, and when we're done, we'll sing.
Sure. Go back to that.
Fellowship time afterwards, someone's going to count up the total and see how much we accrued. But right now, we're going to sing.